Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Tom O'Malley. I represent the defendant, Frank McGraw, in this matter. May it please the Court, Your Honors, on the night of April 6, 2006, Fort Wayne Police Department Supervisor Detective Sergeant Joel Squadrito and Drug House Ordinance Coordinator Joe Musi conducted a search on a suspected drug house. That apartment was apartment number 3 at 2228 South Harrison Street in Fort Wayne. My client, Mr. McGraw, lives in apartment number 2 of that building. During the course of the search, officers Musi and Squadrito saw what they determined to be a number of housing code violations, and so they called the housing code department, and housing code officer Solomon showed up. Housing code officer Solomon went through the building, decided it needed to be condemned, that it was no longer fit for human habitation. At this point, and the record isn't perfectly clear on it, Sergeant Squadrito somehow learned that McGraw was across the street, on the other side of Harrison Street, where a crowd was gathering. McGraw was summoned back to the house. The record is he complied. He walked across the street. As he came across Harrison Street, on the porch of his house, he found 5 officers: Officer Solomon, Officer Squadrito, Officer Musi, Officer Stoner, Officer Beaker. In addition to that, he found the Fort Wayne SWAT team. In addition to that, he saw his neighbor, sorry, I don't remember his name at this point, the apartment number 3 occupant, sitting in the back of a squad car. Now, at this point, he was told by Officer Solomon that he needed to go inside of his house, that there was a dog inside of his apartment. He wanted him to get the dog. He wanted him to get belongings for several days. He said, "We're going to go in. We need to check your house. We need to check to make sure there are no other housing violations in there." McGraw allegedly, according to Officer Beaker and Officer Squadrito, said, "I got a pit bull that doesn't like people in uniform. Would you like to come in with me?" Or words to that effect. The officers declined. He was cautioned, "Get your dog and get moving." He did. He did just that. He went upstairs. He got the dog. Officer Beaker told him, "Hurry up. Your time is up. Get down here. Let's go." Or words again to that effect. And McGraw came out.
You know, when he was told to get the dog and belongings for several days, I didn't see that. Is that what the police officer told him before he went up to get the dog?
Yes, Your Honor. He was told that he needed to get enough clothes and belongings for several days, that the building was being condemned. He was told also that the police were going in to his apartment to look it over, to see if there were other housing violations. And that's where what the real issue is in this case. Now, the district court ruled that when McGraw said to the officers, "You're welcome to come in with me," it was probably a joke. But in addition to that, or in any event, it was limited in scope to the time he was in the building.
But, you know, you didn't really address the fact that he left his door open
and
unlocked.
Your Honor,
after joking with the officers, you know, doesn't that seem to indicate he didn't care who went into his apartment? I mean, I know if I was leaving my apartment for a few days, I would close and lock my door.
Yes, Your Honor. I think that we need to look at that particular statement in the context that it's made, because that is what Officer Squadrito said to McGraw. At that point, Officer Squadrito told McGraw they were going to check his apartment. What he said is, and I believe it's on pages 17 and 18 of the court's decision, "We explained to him again that we were going to check his apartment." And the district court said that that could be interpreted as a claim of authority to search on the part of Squadrito. And that's when, at that point in time, Your Honor, that's when McGraw said, apparently walking out with his dog, said, "The door's open." So it's our position that if that statement was made, that's the acquiescence to authority that is prohibited by Napsker. And I hope I'm pronouncing the name of that case correctly. Napsker, this court says coercion, however subtle, is not acceptable, or it may not be a valid consent. And so it's our position that McGraw's consent, as it were, to Officer Squadrito is not really a valid consent. Really, it's an acquiescence to the authority. He's told by Officer Solomon that the building is being condemned. So there's the show of authority. This building is being condemned. And he was explained by Officer Solomon, we need to go in. We need to look in the building to make sure there's nobody in there, and we need to make sure there's no other housing violations in there. And Officer Solomon says the exact words, when we go in. That's the second half of his statement, which is on page 3 of the court's decision. He says, when we go in, that shows that entrance into McGraw's apartment is a foregone conclusion. It isn't negotiable. They're not asking McGraw for his permission to go see into that apartment. They're not equivocating. They say, when we go in. And furthermore, Officer Squadrito says, we didn't need permission or assigned consent to search when we go in to do search for people. When we go in to do a sweep, we don't get assigned consent. And the court said, well, that's wrong. You had the time to go get a search warrant if you thought there were other people in the building. There were no exigent circumstances. It wasn't freezing. No wiring is out of – nobody says that wiring is out of shape. The building's going to burn down. So they could have obtained the search warrant, but they didn't. And they didn't because Officer Squadrito didn't think it was necessary. Officer Squadrito, again, that goes to show that he thought it was a foregone conclusion, that they could go in, sweep the building, and look around. Well, it turns out when they did go in and look around, they found a duffel bag, or a gym bag, as it were, on McGraw's bed that contained money and drugs. Now, at that point, so the issue is, was McGraw's consent a valid consent, or is it a mere acquiescence to authority? And the court examines the issue, but the court determined that, it was Your Honor's question, when he says to Squadrito, the door is open, that's when the consent was made. But I think if we look at that in the circumstances that it was made, McGraw is told, come across the street. McGraw is told, go get your stuff and get out of here. McGraw is met by the SWAT team. He's met by 5 officers. He goes up, he gets his stuff, he gets his dog, and he leaves. Now, and he's even told, your time is up. Come on, get moving, get out of here. We've got to go into this building. That's why they were pushing him along. So when he does say to officer, and we're not challenging the court's, although McGraw denied that he ever said it, we're still at this point not challenging the court's credibility determination. The court made a credibility determination and said, we find Officer Squadrito credible. So that McGraw said, the door's open. And that's the question, Your Honor. The whole question of this case comes down to that very issue. When under the circumstances, in the context of the surroundings, which Napscar and more recently this court in Hicks says that we have to look at the circumstances. McGraw's rights are never explained to him. He's never told that it's optional. He's never told that he has any sort of constitutional rights. And he's met by this kind of large police, a major show of force, 5 officers, a SWAT team, and his buddy sitting in the back of a police car, not to mention that he's told... he's commanded to leave. So that's our position, that becomes an acquiescence to authority.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Ms. King, forgive me, but before you even start, I need to get something clear in my own mind.
Yes.
Is Solomon a police officer or a building inspector?
Solomon is a building inspector.
Okay. What about Musi, who is described as a drug ordinance coordinator? Is he a uniformed officer?
Yes, Your Honor. And just to go back to Solomon, I believe his title correctly is a neighborhood code enforcement officer. And we can equate that with the building inspector, Your Honor.
Okay. But, and then Musi, he is a uniformed officer?
No, Your Honor. He's a drug house ordinance coordinator.
So who does he work for? The building department? Or?
No, he's associated with the Fort Wayne Police Department, but I do not believe the commissioned officer.
I think I see. Okay.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
And then, of course, Detective Squadrito would be the supervisor.
Sure.
A commissioned law enforcement officer.
Well, all right, I'm going to just start you off because the phrasing that the officers used has troubled me. They repeatedly said they needed to go in, that they were going in, without ever presenting that as a request, except for Musi, and that consent was limited in scope, according to the district court. They even said they had needed to go in but couldn't because of the dog. They presented to McGraw that the only impediment to the search was the dog. Now, if that's not a request to search, I need an example of language that would not pass muster. It just seems like it would swallow up the requirement to ask for consent. And, of course, that worries me.
Yeah, Honor, let me address that for you if I can. I believe the district court aptly commented that perhaps it was not the best wording to use, but that Solomon's request or wording as needed was interpreted as a request that we would need to, we would want to. Again, I would agree with the district court that perhaps it wasn't the best wording. Could have been probably stated better. But still, it was
the court itself. Well, Judge Springman said this is a very close case.
Yes, she did. She did. And then the court, you bring up Officer Musi, and his comment or question was more poignant, more straightforward. In fact, he asked specifically, sir, do you mind if we go in with you to make sure there's no one else present or no one else there? And to that, the appellant, McGraw, he says, sure, yeah, go ahead and come on in and search if you want to. As the court notes, that was with the limitation that McGraw be present. It was the third invitation that extended the scope of the invitation, and that was the follow-up, if you will, asked by Squadrito. Counsel points out that he wants to intimate, again, that was a statement that, as a court noted, if taken in isolation, could have been interpreted as a directive, but it was not. It was a follow-up to the initial request that Solomon had made, and that McGraw told Squadrito that, yes, you all can come up. But this time, on the third invitation, that limitation was basically withdrawn. McGraw had his dog in tow, the red pit bull. He's leaving now the apartment, and leaving the building. He's on the porch, in fact, when he makes his third invitation, the third unrestricted, this time, invitation.
Was he carrying anything else with him? Or is there anything in the record that shows it? Because he was told, when he told to go up, he was told to get some stuff for a few days. Was he carrying anything else other than having the dog?
Your Honor, I don't recall right now, and I'm not sure if
that... I didn't see anything. I just wanted to know if that had some place to find that. I'm curious, because he left the television on and the door open with, I would assume, his full intent to go back in there and finish once he gets somebody to take care of the dog.
And I apologize, Your Honor, I don't recall if that's in the record or not, but he certainly had the dog in tow, and he had left the door open for the officers to go in.
See, Squadrito testified that police don't need consent or a warrant to conduct a protective sweep to clear people out of a condemned building. The district court, of course, disagreed because there wasn't any emergency here. And Squadrito's belief that he could go in without consent or a warrant seems to support the idea that this was a fait accompli, that McGraw never really had a choice because the officers were going to do what the officers were going to do, no matter what the residents said. How do you get around that mistaken belief of Officer Squadrito? Because that mistake seems to have driven the entire transaction here.
Well, Your Honor, looking at the totality of the circumstances, and again, focusing upon not just Squadrito's, but Musi's and Solomon's conduct and comments out there as well. As I stated before, Musi asked a direct, straightforward question, sir, do you mind? But giving McGraw the option, yes or no. McGraw was not detained. He was not in custody. There were no guns drawn. Counsel references the third apartment occupant being in custody, but McGraw, who was the occupant of apartment number two, was not in custody. The climate was calm and tension-free between McGraw and the police officers.
Did the police officers ever explain the rush to clear the building? I mean, they give him a few minutes to remove the dog, pack his belongings, leave for a few days.
Yes, they
I couldn't pack for a few days and a few minutes.
Yes, they did, Your Honor. When he was summoned from across the street, it was Solomon and Musi who explained to him the nature of the circumstances, that the building was condemned, it was going to be vacated, and that he would need to get some belongings, that he, as well as the other occupants of the building.
Now, what's this false sense of urgency, like the building's going to fall down in the next minute?
Well, there was no, there were some electrical issues, plumbing issues, and no furnace was working, and so...
But it's April. After April 15th.
Yes, Your Honor, but the but Officer Solomon made a determination that the building needed to be condemned. It was not fit for habitation.
Oh, I understand that, but when we consider the totality of the circumstances, there's this incredibly false sense of urgency going on here.
Well, again, Your Honor, when I look to the testimony of Solomon, that's what he tells us, and that is based, assumingly, on his training and experience, that we need to get these folks out of here, and we need to make sure that no one is left behind if we're going to board up this building. And so we need to make sure that there are no other people within the building once it's boarded up.
Well, he went back up. His excuse for the delay was he couldn't find the leash. And then he put together some makeshift thing with a piece of wire or something that he then used to get the dog out. Now, that might account for why it took 5 or 7 minutes to go get the dog. And everybody's waiting for him to get the dog out. I don't know where... I'm still confused about leaving the TV on and that sort of thing. It's like the dog is just the first lap, and then he's going to go back. That's the only way I can construe what he was doing.
Well,
in the meantime, he says the door is open when he takes the dog out.
Correct, but as counsel mentioned...
is that an indication, going up, I'm going to do something with the dog?
I'm sorry, the last part of that, Your Honor?
He's going to do something. He's got the dog, which doesn't like officers, et cetera. He says the door is open, he's left the television on. I get the impression that he thinks he's going to go back up there, but in the meantime, they can go make sure nobody else is in the apartment.
The intimation, I believe, Your Honor, was that it was okay then for the officers to go on up. And when they go up, they find what counsel referenced earlier was the, after seeing some other items, in plain view, they see the black duffel bag on the bed with money and hundreds of dollars and the substance of crack cocaine in plain view.
When you say in plain view, was that black duffel bag unzipped?
It was unzipped. And so we believe that...
And open?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Like this?
You're demonstrating... when the testimony officer, when we look at that, when he says it was in plain view, I interpret that as he did not have to touch or move anything to see the items that were there, that being the money and the crack cocaine. And so based upon the totality of the circumstances in this case, we believe that the district court made the proper finding in denying Mr. McGraw's motion to suppress.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank
King.
Thank you. And we ask that the court affirm that decision. Thank you.
Come on back, Mr. O'Malley. How much time does Mr. O'Malley?
Well, we gave you an extra minute, so we're going to give Mr. O'Malley an extra minute.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We're fair, if nothing else, up here. Right? Okay.
Your Honor, to clear up one thing, Joe Musi is an officer who had retired from the Fort Wayne Police Department after many years of distinguished service and has now taken on the position of drug house coordinator. I believe he is never in uniform. He is always in civilian clothes. Whether or not he is sworn, I don't know.
Well, their presence at the site to begin with was to execute a search warrant on apartment number 3,
yes,
which
Your
I
Honor.
Assume was a drug-related search warrant?
Yes, Your Honor. And as to the record, Your Honor, of what Mr. McGraw went upstairs with, he had nothing. I believe that the record is void of any reference. I don't think he had anything with him when he went back up into the house. He wasn't carrying anything, in other words. Your Honor, going to Your Honor's question of what was said to McGraw by Officer Solomon, it's on page 89 of the record, which happens to be page 79 of the transcript. And I asked him, I said, what, to the best you can remember, what did you say to him? Officer Solomon said that I had condemned the building through the violations that were located in the basement, that a condemnation meant that it was unfit for human occupancy, that I need to go inside to inspect all the other units, to do a thorough inspection, to look for any other violations that might be located inside the units, that we needed to get into his unit, could not do that with the dog in there because you could hear a dog through the door, and the fact that he could remove any items he needed to because he'd have to stay someplace for a short time frame tomorrow or as long as it took for the owner to make some repairs. And that's essentially what his answer was, Your Honor. So it goes on for a few more lines. But I think the point is McGraw wasn't given any alternatives. He wasn't told his constitutional rights. He wasn't told anything except that we needed to get in. And as Officer Squadrito said to him, before the statement that the judge considered to be the final invitation, Officer Squadrito said, it's on page 17 and 18 of the court's record, we explained to him again that we were going to check his apartment. So it's obvious that they've said to him several times, we're going to check that apartment. McGraw wasn't given the alternative. He wasn't. So it's our position that any statement that he made to the officers, hey, the door is open, which was his final parting words, was obviously an acquiescence to authority at that point. Be happy to answer any questions you have. I see that I'm out of time.
Mr. O'Malley, I have a question. Were you appointed?
Your Honor, I'm with the Federal Community Defenders of the Northern District Fort Wayne Division.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thanks to both.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel. Well argued. Thank you.